Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week, where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Karaku, Piedmont, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you once again. Welcome to Inside Finance. And as you know, every week I find someone that we can talk with and share with here Inside Finance. Today I have with me Mr. Ruel Edwards, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Marketing and National Importing Board. And we'll be talking today about food. We'll be talking about national security when it comes to food. He's the man that seems to be securing the farmers and securing the country with food. So we'll be talking to him about that. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and start our discussion here with Mr. Ruel Edwards. To all our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, summon it. Testimonies, great thing is happening at the SGBCGrenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC, it is available to you. An app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you wherever you are now. You do not have to wonder where is the radio. Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store. Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. Welcome to Inside Finance. Mr. Ruel Edwards, welcome to Inside Finance.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Greetings to you and all the listeners of Grenada and the diaspora, wherever the program can be heard. It's a joy and a pleasure to be here to have this discussion. Feels as though I'm in the Ministry of Finance, as you said, Inside Finance.
Well, it's a joy to have you because, as always, I mean, last week we had Mr. Timothy Antoine, and really it's a joy to talk with him. How are you doing, though?
I'm doing very well. I'm blessed and highly favored. I think the Lord continues to be gracious to me and my family, and for this I'm grateful, and I can't complain. You have an opportunity to make an impact, and that's all that I want to do.
Well, I want to welcome you to, you know, Inside Finance. Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been at the Marketing and Importing Board?
You can say 2 years. 1 year as the chairman of the board, and then the second year as the chief executive. So as a chief executive, 1 year, but overall I've been involved in Marketing Board for the last 2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm. Tell us, what is the National Marketing Importing Board? What is that?
Yeah, well, the MNIB is a statutory corporation that is primarily responsible for marketing farmers' produce. That is the broad mandate of the board. But essentially, when you dig deeper inside the Act, the MNIB Act, it makes provision for a lot of other things. So, for example, the operating of outlets, operating milling stations, getting involved in shipping logistics, export development, contributing towards the agricultural sector, agro-processing. So there are a lot of different things inside the MNIB Act that we have to do. But I think the broad definition is basically it's a marketing agency.
Okay. How did you find it moving from the chairman of the board to chairman to being the chief executive?
It was an easy transition. The different roles, and I think once you appreciate and understand that you're functioning in a different capacity, then the transition was rather easy. I've been in leadership position before in terms of chairman or president of organizations, and I've been in a general manager position before as well. So I understand the difference in the both roles. So having that appreciation, and at the end of the day, what was important for me is making a difference in whichever opportunity I get to operate in. So it was a smooth transition, I think. The minister with responsibility for MNIB, that's Minister Oliver Joseph, he was very clear as to what he would like to see happen. And I think that having those parameters made a huge difference in the transition process.
Mm. Now, you have been acquiring buildings. I mean, in terms of we see the improvement in the service. Also, we have seen an improvement in the marketing and national important board in its facility. Mm-hmm. Now, you have acquired building, and latest one I knew that you acquired one in Grenville. So tell us what is happening really with the acquisition of these buildings at the same time, the improvement of the facilities.
Yeah, it's a brand. MNIB has to be a brand that people appreciate. And when you look at the economic landscape and the competitive industry that we're operating in, any individual wants to go into a facility that is upscale, that is comfortable, that is safe. We're also dealing with fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables is coming into contact with various containers, etc. So you want to ensure that your facility is first world, that your facility is upgraded, and that you are proud of the environment in which you operate in. So we've started a process of upgrading the MNIB outlets to ensure that it really present itself in a manner that is conducive for customers. So that they can come in and buy the different things. They are used to the Walmarts. They are used to the Tescos. They are used to some of the local supermarkets here that are upscale and very, very beautiful. So we've undertaken that process. For us, we also look at where are the opportunities for further growth and further development. And we have seen that Grenville presents such an opportunity for us on two sides of the fence. The farming community is in Grenville. And because you have such a large cadre of farmers in Grenville, it helps us with our procurement. So moving into Grenville is going to increase the variety of what we have. The quantity of what we have is certainly going to improve. For instance, a farmer may have two boxes of scythe. Why does he have to come down to town to sell two boxes of scythe? He can simply go to that outlet and sell it. And then the second thing is fruits and vegetables should be made accessible to everybody every day. And not just a Friday and a Saturday, that is a traditional norm in Grenville. So our view is that if we get into that market, there is an opportunity, then we would be able to offer fruits and vegetables every day of the week from Sunday to Sunday to encourage healthy eating, to encourage local eating. And at the same time, it gives the farmers, the smaller ones, an opportunity to sell to us without having to incur the huge cost of coming to St. George's.
Okay. What would you say is the main achievement in the past year of the marketing board? What are some of the things you think that you all have really worked on and now you're seeing the fruits of it, or some of the things that you have been doing in the past year?
Yeah, the two most important thing for us, first of all, is building the confidence in the farming community. In 2013, we were only able to achieve 1,400 farmers to sell to us, whereas in 2014, we had 1,900 farmers. So far in 2015, we're seeing a 41% increase in the amount of farmers that are now doing business with MNIB. We have purchased over £300,000 more of produce in 2015 for the first quarter as compared to 2014. Overall, we've purchased over £1 million more in 2014 as compared to 2013 by way of produce from the farmers. So that has been a significant achievement for us, breathing that level of confidence in the farming community so that people are going back into lands, they're planting, and they're coming back and sell to MNIB once more. We still have a lot of work to do, but there are people who have never sold to MNIB in the last 5 years, and they are now back selling to MNIB. The second thing that is of significance is the sustainability on the financial side of it. We have been able to institute different cost control measures to ensure that we start a path of becoming profitable, because if you're a loss-making enterprise, then you don't have the resources to further invest, to develop. And that has been one of the challenges of MNIB over the last 10 to 20 years, whereby the entity was not making profits. So in 2013, we had a small surplus. And in 2014, again, we were able to generate a second small surplus. So we're on a path of growth and of sustainability. And I think when you put those two things together, it really breeds an opportunity for you to develop a very strong institution that can go ahead and serve the interests of the local communities.
What stood out most for you in 2014?
The staff and their commitment to going along with the changes. If you know me, I like to get things done and get it done now and get it done properly. And we've been really pushing the staff to make adjustments. So in 2014, what stood out to me most was that commitment and the willingness from the staff that we call Team MNIB to adjust to the changes that we've been making, to start going along with the fast pace, to being receptive to the new ideas, being receptive to the training, and then going on the front line and delivering the kind of service that we want. That was the biggest thing that stood out to me.
What are some of the benefits the marketing board is bringing to our farmers at this time. With all that's happening, we know that there's the challenges, but we also know that there are some products like soursop that have become a big thing on the international market. What are some of the benefits you are bringing to them?
I will start with soursop on the export development side. So we are moving aggressively in developing exports. Soursop, we believe, has the opportunity to rival nutmeg and cocoa at some point in the future by way of the potential to earn revenue. So we've designed a soursop industry development plan. We have created special packaging for soursop. We've introduced a special quality control program to ensure that the best soursop gets onto the international market so that you don't risk the opportunity of losing that market. Apart from that, the kind of services that we offer to farmers. So farmers have a savings opportunity with us that every time they sell, they are allowed to deduct a certain percentage of the sale that goes into a saving that they can get at the end of the year. We have a crop insurance for banana and planting farmers so that whenever you have heavy rainfalls and you have lost of crops, you have an opportunity to get those income back to you so that you can recover. We have a credit program where farmers are allowed to get fertilizer and boxes and other inputs on credit so that they can continue to operate. We've introduced the same day payment, meaning that as you sell to MNIB today as a farmer, within 24 hours, you can get your money. That allows you to concentrate on production. That gives you resources to go back and plant. And I think those are a very good opportunity. But MNIB does a lot more than just serve the farmers. Believe it or not, the agro-processors, we spend a lot of money. We spend over $1 million a year purchasing from agro-processors, the people that are making the tamarind balls, the fudge, the sugar cake, the sea moss. I mean, the range of things we purchase from the agro-processors are huge. They are very quiet, so the agro-processors are not very vocal. They don't make a lot of noise. We find that the farmers are the ones that are louder in demanding improvement in services, etc. But I can tell you, I was amazed when I got into MNIB and I saw the impact we have on the people that were selling us the pinnacle and the eggs and the various things, the farine, the sea moss, the cornmeal. We purchase a lot of those things, and it comes from local communities, from St. Andrew, from Guar, from St. George, from St. Patrick, across all the range, from Carrickou, the peas, etc. So those are things that we do, and it has a huge impact in the local communities.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a national strategy, I think, the government is working on. And even with, you have the homegrown program that we have of trying to get our debt under controlled, trying to bring things, streamline it, that the boards and the many statutory bodies fit into the national plan. Explain to us, how do the marketing board fit into the national strategy, and what is the board of the marketing board is doing to ensure that we are part of that plan to help the country succeed and to feed itself?
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll take it from the first part of it in terms of the structural adjustment program, the homegrown program, and the performance monitoring guidelines that the government has issued to all statutory corporation. Even ahead of that, MNIB has been very clear that if you're going to be successful, you must have a strategy. And we've spent time in 2013 doing all the research and developing a strategic plan for MNIB, which was launched in June of 2014, called MNIB in 2020. That strategic plan would have spoken to the sort of direction we want to go on, the area of emphasis. The performance monitoring guideline, MNIB, is a part of that program. So we have the strategic plan that has already been approved by Cabinet and the World Bank. We have our monthly reporting that is being submitted to the board every month, and it's going to be a quarterly reporting that is going to be submitted to the government. We've established key performance indicators that is being monitored every day and every week. So all my managers know that at the end of this week, these are the numbers that we want to see. These are the key things that we're monitoring: our bank balances, our sales, our amount of customers, our spoilage, our wastage. In terms of the national strategic plan, MNIB is extremely concerned about our food import bill. And for us to have any kind of a sustainable growth and in the future as a country, for us to be able to feed ourselves, we must have a plan to address our food security. We believe that one area to start is by looking at what are the things that we're good at from an agricultural perspective that we can grow that we do not have to import. So when we look at the national plan for 2030, and we're speaking of agriculture, we have to start from the perspective of the things that we can grow. How do we grow it and feed ourselves? And it has to also tie with the hotel sector. So if we can go watermelons, cantaloupes, pineapples, passion fruit, etc., those are the things that we have to have a commitment from the consuming side of it to say, I will be buying all of those local. Also, we have to look at the new technologies that must be introduced. So in our 2030 plan, if we don't look at how do we do agriculture in a modern era, looking at technology, the greenhouses, the shade houses, the irrigation systems, the better varieties, the pest-resistant varieties, then we will not achieve anything significant. And I'm happy that the process has started and the discussion is taking place. From an MNIB's perspective, we would also contribute towards export development, because you look at some of the big countries, China, or even the United States, Japan, some of those countries that have very strong economic growth. One of the data that they monitor on an ongoing basis is the amount of exports. Grenada, we are not exporting anything substantial. In 2014, our exports would have only been $99 million. That is small. So MNIB intends to contribute towards the discussion on exports, on export development. What are the things that we have a comparative advantage in vis-a-vis other countries that we can grow and exploit, and then we can bring things along with it. So the import substitution, the export development, I think is the areas that where we're going to make our biggest contribution.
Now, further to that, where we are now is crucial, I think, in the development of our nation. Mm-hmm. Now, where does the marketing board fit in to that plan?
On the making food accessible to everybody at an affordable price, it's extremely important. The health of a nation is very often referred to as the wealth of a nation. And the things that we consume today, believe it or not, would have an impact on the health bill 5, 10, 15 years down the road. So within the context of the overall development of Grenada, MNIB sees itself playing a significant role in contributing towards the health of the population by ensuring that foods are available and it's affordable and it's of the right quality. And hence, we're speaking of fruits and vegetables. Additionally, in order to be able to ensure that the economy continues to grow and develop, we have to export more. We have to be a lot more aggressive in ensuring that we have foreign investment coming in via export, foreign resources. And so we have to be very, very aggressive in exports. We have started. We're not there yet. So we have quite a lot of work to do. But we have started a process of implementing a very robust export plan that is going to see Grenada's export in fruits and vegetables and agro-processed products grow a year on year that can really provide development for us.
Okay. All right, folks, I'm speaking to Mr. Earl Edwards. I'm listening to very attentively, too, just as you are, to him speaking to us. Mr. Earl Edwards, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Marketing and National Importing Board. We're talking national interest here and pretty much trying to get an understanding what is happening within the Marketing Board. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and continue my discussion here with Mr. Earl Edwards, the Chief Executive Officer of Marketing and National Importing Board. This is Inside Finance.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acrobrop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acrobrop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Oh, welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. With me in the studio is Mr. Ruel Edwards, Chief Executive Officer of Marketing and National Importing Board. Just a quick question though. When did Marketing Board actually started?
Marketing Board started in 1973 as the Marketing Board. Okay, 1973. And was primarily responsible for just marketing. It was amended in 1979 when the revolution came in. To introduce the importation side of it, which is the commodities. So the commodities was introduced in 1979 to provide some financial resources to assist in price stabilization of the commodities, but also that you can use some of the resources from the commodities to assist in agricultural development. So it was amended in 1979.
So it wasn't the revolution that introduced marketing board.
No.
I think that is a myth because most people think so.
No. Yeah, the marketing board started in 73. So it was introduced in 73 and it was changed in 1979 to include importing. So the name was changed to Marketing and National Importing Board in 79.
So what was the name in 73?
73 was Marketing Board.
Okay.
The Marketing Board. And in 79, the importing part of it was introduced. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask this. What are the key export promoted by Marketing Board? What are the things that you're really exporting or pushing for farmers to grow?
Right. Right now, on the produce side, what we've done is to separate the export via markets because there are some markets that you have access to for particular crops and there are some markets you don't have access to. On the European side, we have access to the European Union for mangoes and golden apples, which are a huge produce by way of volume. So we've been pushing for greater production in golden apples and mangoes. Yeah, we have some pest issues that have to be addressed. But on the UK side and in Canada, we've been doing very well with mangoes and golden apples. Soursop is the third crop in the line that we've been pushing, and soursop is international, meaning that we have access to the United States, we have access to Trinidad, we have access to the UK, we have access to Canada. The soursop, the demand in the United States has been greater than what we can supply. We believe that as a country, we're only able to supply between 10 to 15% of what the demand is on the United States market. That comes with its own peculiarity because Grenada is the only country to date that has access to the United States for soursop. There are a lot of other territories that would be lobbying the United States Department of Agriculture to review their protocol on soursop. So for us, we believe as a country, it's important for us to put standards in place, to put systems in place to ensure that only the best soursop gets onto the United States market to preserve the interests of the farmers. So we have been encouraging farmers to continue to produce soursop, to plant soursop, and to work with us, MNIB, by way of harvesting and servicing it so that the pest-free fruit gets onto the market. In terms of export development, we've also started research and development in the soursop to package it so that you make a lot more money off of value added. So whilst the fresh fruit is going onto the market, we're also working on value added. We're not going to wait 30 and 40 years to do a value added product. We're doing a value added product now so that we can exploit it. There are other produce that has opportunities that we've been working on. The pumpkin, the dashing, the callaloo, the sweet potatoes, the seasoning pepper, the hot pepper. Dominican Republic has just lost the access to the United States market for hot peppers. So we are now there having active discussions with buyers, having active discussions with the United States Department of Agriculture on the opportunities for hot peppers. Avocados, we believe, is a good opportunity for us on the Trinidad market, the Canadian market, the US market, as well as UK. We believe that this year avocados are going to do very well. So we have what is called a handful of products that we think we have to work with first and develop and exploit. So at this stage, we are not looking to export cabbage, lettuce, and tomatoes. Those are not commercially viable. The six or seven crops that we've identified, we believe that once you break through in a market, you build a very strong base, then you would have some satellite products that is going to come along.
Excited?
Yep.
You look excited.
Yep. I just wanted to add the other thing in terms of agro-processed products. So in every market we go now, we're also looking at what are the opportunity for our jams and jellies? What are the opportunity for our tamarind balls, our chocolate, our cocoa, various things. So we're beginning to spread and not just look at fruits and vegetables, because if we can process some of the items, then we can make a lot more money in the future.
Which is the value added.
Of course.
Value added. Now, recently, the government has put forward a new framework for statutory bodies. Mm-hmm. Now, that is quite a big thing because it is important. Mm-hmm. What are your views on this framework that government has put forward?
It's extremely important. It's extremely important for the statutory corporations, and the state-owned enterprises to have guidelines as to how to operate. Because you might be in a commercial part of it. So, for example, the marketing board, the NAWASA, might be considered to be commercial. You might be service-oriented. But essentially, and as the permanent secretary would have alluded to, we are the children of government. Government is a parent. And because we are the children, very often what we do would have an impact on government finances at some point in time. So you have to ensure that you're sustainable. You have to ensure that you have a clear plan to operate. And when you look at the, you take a survey of the statutory corporations, we do different things. Everybody has different programs, different policies, different approach, and there is no consistency, there is no coherence in how the statutory corporations operate. So my view is that it's a welcome thing. We know that there is also a subcommittee of about five people who are working with the Ministry of Finance officials to look at how do we begin to streamline the statutory corporations and work with them in putting policies and ensuring that there are guidelines to be followed so that their performance can improve and that what they do is transparent and also that what they do at the end of the day is going to yield the benefits to society. So a statutory corporation should not be a drain, but should actually provide a service a lot more efficient than central government. So I welcome it. I think it's important. From an MNIB perspective, we have started a process to ensure that we comply with the guidelines. And what it does is that it gives government a very clear indication as to where you're going. And it provides some level of safety for these, the statutory corporations as well, that government is aware of your plans, they are aware of what you're doing, and there will be no surprises. I mean, in business, in the private sector, you have to have a strategy. You have to have a plan as to how am I going to generate sufficient revenues to cover my costs. Because if I can't generate revenues to cover my costs, then I will end up bankrupt. So from the statutory corporation is how do I generate sufficient revenues to cover my costs as well? And if you can't generate sufficient income by way of tariff and taxes and sales to cover your costs, then the statutory corporation is going to end up in difficulty. And at the end of the day, the employees would be affected and the population would be affected. So that framework of monitoring performance, of having guidelines as to how to operate, what reports you have to submit, the key things that you have to monitor, having a strategic plan in place, looking at your procurement policy, looking at your confidentiality policy, your employee relations policy, your union collective agreement policy, I think all those things are quite useful.
So we could say that the statutory bodies are value added to government.
It's supposed to be. A statutory corporation or a state-owned enterprise not supposed to be a drain on government, but essentially you're supposed to provide a service that is more efficient than what the central government is going to provide.
All right. Time run quickly. I know you're trying to get a lot in, but you have a minute. Tell us anything you want to leave with us?
Yes. We want to encourage the population to continue to consume local. We think it's important that there is a strong commitment from the local population to eat local fruits and vegetables. It does not only have to be purchased from the MNIB, but it can be purchased from wherever, and that you purchase from legitimate source. And that is going to have an effect on, I think, on pretty lasting. If we purchase only from legitimate sources, it's going to have an effect on our farmers to encourage them to produce more. It's going to have an effect on our agro-processors for them to continue to produce more. But overall, the health of our nation is going to improve, and it's going to improve substantially by what the things we eat and drink. And if fruits and vegetables is an area that can contribute towards a healthier nation, we're happy to do that. We also want to say to the population that the things that we do, the decisions that we take, is all in the interest of promoting national development. So going to Grenville is trying to promote national development. Introducing a Healthy Eaters Club card, which is a loyalty program, is trying to ensure that people get excited about eating fruits and vegetables and getting our young people to do that. Our aggressive approach in advertising and marketing is again trying to promote local consumption. And at the end of the day, if MNIB is successful, then Grenada is successful because MNIB is here and is for Grenadians. And we're working in the interest of the people within the agricultural sector. So we're excited over the things that we've accomplished so far, but we're not yet out of the woods because we have quite a lot of work still ahead of us to accomplish in the near future.
You're excited, bro.
Oh, yes, I'm excited. I still wake up 3 and 4 o'clock every morning. Can't wait to get to work because, you know, it's a nice period to be a part of what's happening here locally in Grenada.
That's great. Folks, you've been listening to Mr. Ruel Edwards, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Marketing and National Importing Board. I want to thank him for sharing. Really has been a blessing. And a joy just to hear what the Marketing Board is doing and how it is helping to impact our country with the new offices. Grenville Marketing Board is coming.
Yep.
They're coming. And it's good. And Karaku have now, Dennis Petit Martinique, each of those. So they are coming. And I want to thank you for the opportunity just to be here.
We actually have a building in Petit Martinique. We haven't done anything there, but there is a building in Petit Martinique. So you never know. Petit Martinique might be on the horizon.
Might be on the horizon.
There's an opportunity for the Grenadine Islands and PT St. Vincent and Union Island to be serviced from PT Martinique. But we will see what happens.
Wow. With you and the excitement I see, you look like you're already thinking that. Thank you so much. It's a real advice as you have shared with us. I am Stanford Simon. You will listen to the program of Inside Finance. What a joy to be with you again. And market and would fall on the Ministry of Finance. Believe it or not, the Ministry of Finance have a real lot of people and a lot of things. I don't know how Timothy and Doc do it, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, Minister Joseph is the line minister for us.
Yes.
So Ministry of Trade and Finance, we work very, very close.
Very close,
so we under trade. But the Ministry of Finance, of course, has a lot of input. So the PS in Finance is the PS for
Marketing Board.
Yes. So we call the Ministry of Trade and Finance one ministry because we under both of them.
No, it's good, Thank you so much again, and thank my listeners for listening. I'm Stanford Simon. This has been the program of Inside Finance. Have a great week. Join me here next week at the same time where we do this all over again. Don't forget, if you have a question you want me to ask the minister or the permanent secretary, send it to me, stanfordsimon01@gmail.com. And this program is uploaded on Ministry of Finance. Website is also uploaded on sgbcgrenada.com. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.